can marry my daughter, Aksa. Caleb's nephew, Othniel, captured Kiriath Sefer, and Caleb let him marry Aksa. Right after the wedding, Aksa started telling Othniel that he ought to ask her father for a field. She went to see her father, and while she was getting down from her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What's bothering you?" She answered, "I need your help. The land you gave me is in the southern desert, so I really need some spring-fed ponds for a water supply." Caleb gave her a couple of small ponds, named Higher Pond and Lower Pond. Towns in Judah's Land. The following is a list of the towns in each region given to the Judah clans. The first region was located in the southern desert, along the border with Edom, and it had the following 29 towns with their surrounding villages. Kabzeel, Eder, Jager, Kina, Dimona, Arada, Kedesh, Hazor of Ithnan, Ziph, Telem, Beeloth, Hazor Hadatta, Kiriath Hezron, which is also called Hazor, Amam, Shema, Molada, Hazar Gadda, Heshmon, Beth Pelet, Hazar Shul, Beersheba and its surrounding villages, Bela, Ayam, Ezem, El Tolad, Kisel, Horma, Ziklag, Madmana, Sansana, Labaoth, Shilhim, and Enrimmon. The second region was located in the northern part of the lower foothills, and it had the following 14 towns with their surrounding villages. Eshtaol, Zora, Ashna, Zanoa, Enganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Adullam, Soko, Azekah, Shearaim, Adathaim, Gadira, and Gederathaim. The third region was located in the southern part of the lower foothills, and it had the following 16 towns with their surrounding villages. Zenan, Hadasha, Migdalgad, Dilan, Mizpeh, Jokthiel, Lachish, Bozkath, Eglon, Cabin, Lamas, Kitlish, Gederoth, Beth Dagon, Naamah, and Makeda. The fourth region was located in the central part of the lower foothills, and it had the following 9 towns with their surrounding villages. Libna, Ether, Ashan, Iftah, Ashna, Nezib, Keilah, Aksib, and Marisha. The fifth region was located along the Mediterranean seacoast, and it had the following towns with their surrounding settlements and villages. Ekron and the towns between there and the coast, Ashdod and the larger towns nearby, Gaza, the towns from Gaza to the Egyptian Gorge, and the towns along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The sixth region was in the southwestern part of the hill country, and it had the following 11 towns with their surrounding villages. Shamer, Jader, Soko, Dana, Kiriath Sana, which is now called Deber, Anab, Eshtemo, Anim, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo. The seventh region was located in the south-central part of Judah's hill country, and it had the following 9 towns with their surrounding villages. Arab, Duma, Eshan, Janim, Beth-Tapua, Afika, Humpta, Kiriath Arba, which is now called Hebron, and Zior. The eighth region was located in the southeastern part of the hill country, and it had the following 10 towns with their surrounding villages. Maon, Carmel, Ziph, Jutta, Jezreel, Jokdeam, Zenoa, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah. The ninth region was located in the central part of Judah's hill country, and it had the following 6 towns with their surrounding villages. Halhul, Beth-Zur, Gedor, Meirath, Beth-Anoth, and Eltekon. The tenth region was located in the north-central part of Judah's hill country, and it had the following 11 towns with their surrounding villages. Tekoa, Ephrath, which is also called Bethlehem, Peor, Etam, Kulon, Tatum, Shoresh, Kiram, Galam, Bether, and Manahath. The 11th region was located in the northern part of Judah's hill country, and it had the following 2 towns with their surrounding villages. Rabbah and Kiriath Baal, which is also called Kiriath Jearim. The 12th region was located in the desert along the Dead Sea, and it had the following 6 towns with their surrounding villages. Beth Araba, Midden, Sekeka, Nibshan, Salt Town, and Engedi. The Jebusites. The Jebusites lived in Jerusalem, and the people of the Judah tribe could not capture the city and get rid of them. That's why Jebusites still live in Jerusalem, along with the people of Judah. Ephraim's Land, Chapter 16. Ephraim and Manasseh are the 2 tribes descended from Joseph, and the following is a description of the land they received. The southern border of their land started at the Jordan River, east of the spring at Jericho. From there it went west through the desert, up to the hill country around Bethel. From Bethel it went to Luz, and then to the border of the Arkites in Ataroth. It continued west down to the land that belonged to the Japhlet clan, then went on to lower Beth-Horon, Gezer, and the Mediterranean Sea. The following is a description of the land that was divided among the clans of the Ephraim tribe. Their southern border started at Ataroth-Adar and went west to upper Beth-Horon and the Mediterranean Sea. Their northern border started on the east at Genoa, curved a little to the north, then came back south to Michmethath and Tapua, where it followed the Cana Gorge west to the Mediterranean Sea. The eastern border started in the north near Genoa, and went between Genoa on the southwest and Taanath-Shiloh on the northeast. Then it went south to Ataroth, Neara, and on as far as the edge of the land that belonged to Jericho. At that point it turned east and went to the Jordan River. The clans of Ephraim received this region as their tribal land. Ephraim also had some towns and villages that were inside Manasseh's tribal land. Ephraim could not force the Canaanites out of Gezer, so there are still some Canaanites who live there among the Israelites. But now these Canaanites have to work as slaves for the Israelites. Manasseh's land west of the Jordan River, Chapter 17. Manasseh was Joseph's oldest son, and Maker was Manasseh's oldest son. Maker had a son named Gilead, and some of his descendants had already received the regions of Gilead and Bashan, because they were good warriors. The other clans of the Manasseh tribe descended from Gilead's sons Abiezer, Helek, Asriel, Shechem, Hepher, and Shemida. The following is a description of the land they received. Hephra's son Zelophehad did not have any sons, but he did have five daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. One day the clans that were descendants of Zelophehad's five daughters went to the priest Eleazar, Joshua, and the leaders of Israel. The people of these clans said, "The Lord told Moses to give us land, just as he gave land to our relatives." Joshua followed the Lord's instructions and gave land to these five clans, as he had given land to the five clans that had descended from Hepher's brothers. So Manasseh's land, west of the Jordan River, was divided into 10 parts. The land of the Manasseh tribe went from its northern border with the Asher tribe, south to Michmethath, which is to the east of Shechem. The southern border started there, but curved even farther south to include the people who lived around Tapua Spring. The town of Tapua was on Manasseh's border with Ephraim. Although the land around Tapua belonged to Manasseh, the town itself belonged to Ephraim. Then the border went west to the Cana Gorge, and ran along the northern edge of the gorge to the Mediterranean Sea. The land south of the gorge belonged to Ephraim, and even though there were a few towns that belonged to Ephraim north of the gorge, the land north of the gorge belonged to Manasseh. The western border of Manasseh was the Mediterranean Sea, and the tribe shared a border with the Asher tribe on the northwest, and with the Issachar tribe on the northeast. Manasseh was supposed to have the following towns with their surrounding villages inside the borders of Issachar's and Asher's tribal lands: Bethshan, Ibleam, Endor, Taanach, Megiddo, and Dor, which is also called Naphath. But the people of Manasseh could not capture these towns, so the Canaanites kept on living in them. When the Israelites grew stronger, they made the Canaanites in these towns work as their slaves, though they never did force them to leave. Joseph's descendants ask for more land. One day the Joseph tribes came to Joshua and asked, "Why didn't you give us more land? The Lord has always been kind to us, and we have too many people for this small region." Joshua replied, "If you have so many people that you don't have enough room in the hill country of Ephraim, then go into the forest that belonged to the Perizzites and the Rephaim. Clear out the trees and make more room for yourselves there." "Even if we do that," they answered, "there still won't be enough land for us in the hill country. And we can't move down into Jezreel Valley, because the Canaanites who live in Bethshan and in other parts of the valley have iron chariots." "Your tribes do have a lot of people," Joshua admitted. "I'll give you more land. Your tribes are powerful, so you can have the rest of the hill country. But it's a forest, and you'll have to cut down the trees and clear the land. You can also have Jezreel Valley, even though the Canaanites there are strong and have iron chariots. You can force them to leave the valley." Joshua gives out the rest of the land. Chapter 18. After Israel had captured the land, they met at Shiloh and set up the sacred tent. There were still 7 tribes without any land. So Joshua told the people, "The Judah tribe has already settled in its land in the south, and the Joseph tribes have settled in their land in the north. The tribes of Gad, Reuben, and East Manasseh already have the land that the Lord's servant Moses gave them, east of the Jordan River. And the people of Levi won't get a single large region of the land like the other tribes. Instead, they will serve the Lord as priests. But the rest of you haven't done a thing to take over any land. The Lord God, who was worshipped by your ancestors, has given you the land, and now it's time to go ahead and settle there. 7 tribes still don't have any land. Each of these tribes should choose 3 men, and I'll send them to explore the remaining land. They will divide it into 7 regions, write a description of each region, and bring these descriptions back to me. I will find out from the Lord our God what region each tribe should get. Just before the men left camp, Joshua repeated their orders. Explore the land and write a description of it. Then come back to Shiloh, and I will find out from the Lord how to divide the land. The men left and went across the land, dividing it into seven regions. They wrote down a description of each region, town by town, and returned to Joshua at the camp at Shiloh. Joshua found out from the Lord how to divide the land, and he told the tribes what the Lord had decided. Benjamin's land. Benjamin was the first tribe chosen to receive land. The region for its clans lay between the Judah tribe on the south and the Joseph tribes on the north. Benjamin's northern border started at the Jordan River and went up the ridge north of Jericho, then on west into the hill country as far as the Beth-Avon desert. From there it went to Luz, which is now called Bethel. The border ran along the ridge south of Luz, then went to Ataroth-Orech, and on as far as the mountain south of lower Beth-Horon. At that point it turned south and became the western border. It went as far south as Kiriath-Baal, a town in Judah, now called Kiriath-Jearim. Benjamin's southern border started at the edge of Kiriath-Jearim and went east to the ruins and on to Nephtoah Spring. From there it went to the bottom of the hill at the northern end of Rephaim Valley. The other side of this hill faces Hinnom Valley, which is on the land that slopes south from Jerusalem. The border went down through Hinnom Valley until it reached Enrogel. At Enrogel, the border curved north and went to Enshemesh and on east to Geliloth, which is across the valley from Adummon Pass. Then it went down to the monument of Bohan, who belonged to the Reuben tribe. The border ran along the hillside north of Beth Araba, then down into the Jordan River Valley. Inside the valley, it went south as far as the northern hillside of Beth Hogla. The last section of the border went from there to the northern end of the Dead Sea, at the mouth of the Jordan River. The Jordan River itself was Benjamin's eastern border. These were the borders of Benjamin's tribal land, where the clans of Benjamin lived. One region of Benjamin's tribal land had 12 towns with their surrounding villages. Those towns were Jericho, Beth Hogla, Emek Kizes, Beth Araba, Zemaraim, Bethel, Avim, Pera, Ophra, Kephar Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba. In the other region, there were the following 14 towns with their surrounding villages: Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephira, Moza, Rechem, Urpiel, Tarala, Zila, Heileph, Gibeah, Kiriath-Jearim, and Jerusalem, which is also called Jebusite Town. These regions are the tribal lands of Benjamin. Simeon's Land, Chapter 19. Simeon was the second tribe chosen to receive land, and the region for its clans was inside Judah's borders. In one region of Simeon's tribal land, there were the following 13 towns with their surrounding villages: Beersheba, Shema, Molada, Hazar Shul, Bela, Ezem, Eltolad, Bethel, Hormah, Ziklag, Beth Markaboth, Hazar Susa, Beth Lebaoth, and Sheruhen. In another region, Simeon had the following four towns with their surrounding villages: Enrimmon, Taken, Ether, and Ashen. Simeon's land also included all the other towns and villages as far south as Baalath-Beer, which is also called Ramah of the South. Simeon's tribal land was actually inside Judah's territory. Judah had received too much land for the number of people in its tribe, so part of Judah's land was given to Simeon. Zebulun's land. Zebulun was the third tribe chosen to receive land. The southern border for its clans started in the west, at the edge of the gorge near Jokneam. It went east to the edge of the land that belongs to the town of Dabbesheth, and continued on to Marilah and Sarid. It took in the land that belongs to Kishloth-Tabor, then ended at Dabarath. The eastern border went up to Japhia, and continued north to Gath-Hepher, Eth-Kazin, and Rimmonah, where it curved toward Nea and became the northern border. Then it curved south around Hanathon, and went as far west as Iftahel Valley. Zebulun had 12 towns with their surrounding villages. Some of these were Kattath, Nahalal, Shimron, Jirala, and Bethlehem. This is the tribal land, and these are the towns and villages of the Zebulun clans. Issachar's land. Issachar was the fourth tribe chosen to receive land. The northern border for its clans went from Mount Tabor, east to the Jordan River. Their land included the following 16 towns, with their surrounding villages. Jezreel, Kesuloth, Shunem, Haphareim, Shion, Anaharath, Debarath, Kishion, Ebez, Remeth, Enganim, Enhadda, Bethpazes, Tabor, Shehazuma, and Bethshemesh. Asher's land. Asher was the fifth tribe chosen to receive land, and the region for its clans included the following towns: Helkath, Halai, Beton, Akshaph, Alamelech, Amad, and Mishal. Asher's southern border ran from the Mediterranean Sea southeast along the Shihor-Libnath River at the foot of Mount Carmel, then east to Beth Dagon. On the southeast, Asher shared a border with Zebulun along the Iftahel Valley. On the eastern side, their border ran north to Beth-Emek, went east of Cable, and then on to Neiel, Abdon, Rehob, Hammon, Cana, and as far north as the city of Sidon. Then it turned west to become the northern border, and went to Ramah and the fortress city of Tyre. Near Tyre, it turned toward Hosa and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. Asher had a total of 22 towns with their surrounding villages, including Mahalab, Aksib, Akko, Aphek, and Rehob. Naphtali's land. Naphtali was the sixth tribe chosen to receive land. The southern border for its clan started in the west, where the tribal lands of Asher and Zebulun meet near Hukok. From that point it ran east and southeast along the border with Zebulun as far as Asnath-Tabor. From there the border went east to Heleph, Adami-Nekeb, Jabneel, then to the town called Oak in Zaananim, and Lachem. The southern border ended at the Jordan River, at the edge of the town named Jehuda. Naphtali shared a border with Asher on the west. The Naphtali clans received this region as their tribal land, and it included 19 towns with their surrounding villages. The following towns had walls around them: Zidim, Zur, Hamath, Rakath, Kinnereth, Adama, Ramah, Hazor, Kedesh, Edrei, and Hazor, Iron, Migdalel, Horem, Beth-Anath, and Beth-Shemesh. Dan's land. Dan was the seventh tribe chosen to receive land, and the region for its clans included the following towns: Zorah, Eshtaol, Ershemesh, Shealabin, Ajalon, Ithla, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Eltika, Gibbethon, Baalath, Jehud, Azor, Benabirak, Gathrimmon, Mijarkon, and Rakon. Dan's tribal land went almost as far as Joppa. Its clans received this land and these towns with their surrounding villages. Later, when enemies forced them to leave their tribal land, they went to the town of Leshem. They attacked the town, captured it, and killed the people who lived there. Then they settled there themselves and renamed the town Dan, after their ancestor. Joshua's land. The Israelites were still gathered in Shiloh in front of the sacred tent when Eleazar the priest, Joshua, and the family leaders of Israel finished giving out the land to the tribes. The Lord had told the people to give Joshua whatever town he wanted. So Joshua chose Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people gave it to him. Joshua went to Timnath-Serah, rebuilt it, and lived there. The Safe Towns, Chapter 20. One day the Lord told Joshua, "When Moses was still alive, I had him tell the Israelites about the safe towns. Now you tell them that it is time to set up these towns. If a person accidentally kills someone, and the victim's relatives say it was murder, they might try to take revenge. Anyone accused of murder can run to one of the safe towns and be safe from the victim's relatives. The one needing protection will stand at the entrance to the town gate and explain to the town leaders what happened. Then the leaders will bring that person in and provide a place to live in their town. One of the victim's relatives might come to the town looking for revenge. But the town leaders must not simply hand over the person accused of murder. After all, the accused and the victim had been neighbors, not enemies. The citizens of that safe town must come together and hold a trial. They may decide that the victim was killed accidentally, and that the accused is not guilty of murder. Everyone found not guilty must still live in the safe town until the high priest dies. Then they can go back to their own towns and their homes that they had to leave behind." The Israelites decided that the following three towns west of the Jordan River would be safe towns: Kedesh in Galilee, in Naphtali's hill country, Shechem in Ephraim's hill country, and Kiriath Arba in Judah's hill country. Kiriath Arba is now called Hebron. The Israelites had already decided on the following three towns east of the Jordan River: Bezer in the desert flatlands of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead, which was a town that belonged to Gad, and Golan in Bashan, which belonged to Manasseh. These safe towns were set up so that if Israelites or even foreigners who lived in Israel accidentally killed someone, they could run to one of these towns. There they would be safe until a trial could be held, even if one of the victim's relatives came looking for revenge. Levi's Towns, Chapter 21. While the Israelites were still camped at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, the family leaders of the Levi tribe went to speak to the priest Eleazar, Joshua, and the family leaders of the other Israelite tribes. The leaders of Levi said, "The Lord told Moses that you have to give us towns and provide pastures for our animals." Since the Lord had said this, the leaders of the other Israelite tribes agreed to give some of the towns and pastures from their tribal lands to Levi. The leaders asked the Lord to show them in what order the clans of Levi would be given towns, and which towns each clan would receive. The Kohath clans were first. The descendants of Aaron, Israel's first priest, were given 13 towns from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The other members of the Kohath clans received 10 towns from the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and West Manasseh. The clans that were descendants of Gershon were given 13 towns from the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and East Manasseh. The clans that were descendants of Merari received 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. The Lord had told Moses that he would show the Israelites which towns and pastures to give to the clans of Levi, and he did. Towns from Judah, Simeon, Benjamin. The descendants of Aaron from the Kohath clans of Levi were priests, and they were chosen to receive towns first. They were given 13 towns and the pasture land around them. 9 of these towns were from the tribes of Judah and Simeon, and 4 from Benjamin. Hebron, Libna, Jatter, Eshtemoah, Holon, Deber, Ashan, Jutta, and Beth Shemesh were from Judah and Simeon. Hebron, located in the hill country of Judah, was earlier called Arba's town. It had been named after Arba, the ancestor of the Anakim. Hebron's pasture lands went along with the town, but its farmlands and the villages around it had been given to Caleb. Hebron was also one of the safe towns for people who had accidentally killed someone. Gibeon, Geba, Anathoth, and Almon were from Benjamin. Towns from Ephraim, Dan, West Manasseh. The rest of the Kohath clans of the Levi tribe received 10 towns and the pasture land around them. 4 of these towns were from the tribe of Ephraim, 4 from Dan, and 2 from West Manasseh. Shechem, Gezer, Kibzeim, and Beth Horon were from Ephraim. Shechem was located in the hill country, and it was also one of the safe towns for people who had accidentally killed someone. Eltika, Gibbethon, Ajalon, and Gath-Rimmon were from Dan. Taanach and Jibleam were from West Manasseh. Towns from East Manasseh, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali. The clans of Levi that were descendants of Gershon received 13 towns and the pasture land around them. 2 of these towns were from the tribe of East Manasseh, 4 from Issachar, 4 from Asher, and 3 from Naphtali. Golan in Bashan and Beeshterah were from East Manasseh. Kishion, Dabarath, Jarmuth, and Enganim were from Issachar. Mishal, Abdon, Helkath, and Rehob were from Asher. Kedesh in Galilee, Hamathdor, and Kartan were from Naphtali. Golan and Bashan and Kedesh in Galilee were also safe towns for people who had accidentally killed someone. Towns from Zebulun, Reuben, Gad. The rest of the Levi clans were descendants of Merari, and they received 12 towns with the pasture land around them. 4 towns were from the tribe of Zebulun, 4 from Reuben, and 4 from Gad. Jokneam, Karta, Rimmonah, and Nahalal were from Zebulun. Bezer, Jazah, Kedemoth, and Mephaeth were from Reuben. Bezer was located in the desert flatlands east of the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Ramoth and Gilead, Mahanaim, Heshbon, and Jazer were from Gad. Bezer and Ramoth and Gilead were safe towns for people who had accidentally killed someone. The people of the Levi tribe had a total of 48 towns within Israel, and they had pastures around each one of their towns. Israel settles in the land. The Lord gave the Israelites the land he had promised their ancestors, and they captured it and settled in it. There still were enemies around Israel, but the Lord kept his promise to let his people live in peace. And whenever the Israelites did have to go to war, no enemy could defeat them. The Lord always helped Israel win. The Lord promised to do many good things for Israel, and he kept his promise every time. The 2.5 tribes return home. Chapter 22. Joshua had the men of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh come for a meeting, and he told them, "You have obeyed every command of the Lord your God and of his servant Moses, and you have done everything I've told you to do. It's taken a long time, but you have stayed and helped your relatives. The Lord promised to give peace to your relatives, and that's what he has done. Now it's time for you to go back to your own homes in the land that Moses gave you, east of the Jordan River. Moses taught you to love the Lord your God, to be faithful to him, and to worship and obey him with your whole heart and with all your strength. So be very careful to do everything Moses commanded. You've become rich from what you've taken from your enemies. You have big herds of cattle, lots of silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and plenty of clothes. Take everything home with you, and share with the people of your tribe. I pray that God will be kind to you. You are now free to go home." The tribes of Reuben and Gad started back to Gilead, their own land. Moses had given the land of Bashan to the East Manasseh tribe, so they started back along with Reuben and Gad. God had told Moses that these 2.5 tribes should conquer Gilead and Bashan, and they had done so. Joshua had given land west of the Jordan River to the other half of the Manasseh tribe, so they stayed at Shiloh in the land of Canaan with the rest of the Israelites. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh reached the western side of the Jordan River Valley and built a huge altar there beside the river. When the rest of the Israelites heard what these tribes had done, the Israelite men met at Shiloh to get ready to attack the 2.5 tribes. But first they sent a priest, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, to talk with the 2.5 tribes. Each of the tribes at Shiloh sent the leader of one of its families, along with Phinehas. Phinehas and these leaders went to Gilead and met with the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh. They said, "All of the Lord's people have gathered together and have sent us to find out why you are unfaithful to our God. You have turned your backs on the Lord by building that altar. Why are you rebelling against him? Wasn't our people's sin at Peor terrible enough for you? The Lord punished us by sending a horrible sickness that killed many of us, and we still suffer because of that sin. Now you are turning your backs on the Lord again. If you don't stop rebelling against the Lord right now, he will be angry at the whole nation. If you don't think your land is a fit place to serve God, then move across the Jordan and live with us in the Lord's own land, where his sacred tent is located. But don't rebel against the Lord our God or against us by building another altar besides the Lord's own altar. Don't you remember what happened when Achan was unfaithful and took some of the things that belonged to God? This made God angry with the entire nation, Achan died because he sinned, but he also caused the death of many others. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh answered, "The Lord is the greatest God. We ask him to be our witness, because he knows whether or not we were rebellious or unfaithful when we built that altar. If we were unfaithful, then we pray that God won't rescue us today. Let us tell you why we built that altar, and we ask the Lord to punish us if we are lying. We didn't build it so we could turn our backs on the Lord. We didn't even build it so we could offer animal or grain sacrifices to please the Lord or ask his blessing. We built that altar because we were worried. Someday your descendants might tell our descendants, 'The Lord made the Jordan River the boundary between us Israelites and you people of Reuben and Gad. The Lord is Israel's God, but you're not part of Israel, so you can't take part in worshiping the Lord.' Your descendants might say that and try to make our descendants stop worshiping and obeying the Lord. That's why we decided to build the altar. It isn't for offering sacrifices, not even sacrifices to please the Lord. To build another altar for offering sacrifices would be the same as turning our backs on the Lord and rebelling against him. We could never do that. No, we built the altar to remind us, and you, and the generations to come, that we will worship the Lord. And so we will keep bringing our sacrifices to the Lord's altar, there in front of his sacred tent. Now your descendants will never be able to say to our descendants, 'You can't worship the Lord.' But if they do say this, our descendants can answer back, 'Look at this altar our ancestors built. It's like the Lord's altar, but it isn't for offering sacrifices. It's here to remind us and you that we belong to the Lord, just as much as you do.'" Phinehas and the clan leaders were pleased when they heard the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh explain why they had built the altar. Then Phinehas told them, "Today we know that the Lord is helping us. You have not been unfaithful to him, and this means that the Lord will not be angry with us." Phinehas and the clan leaders left Gilead and went back to Canaan to tell the Israelites about their meeting with the Reuben and Gad tribes. The Israelites were happy and praised God. There was no more talk about going to war and wiping out the tribes of Reuben and Gad. The people of Reuben and Gad named the altar, "A reminder to us all that the Lord is our God." Joshua's Farewell Speech, Chapter 23. The Lord let Israel live in peace with its neighbors for a long time, and Joshua lived to a ripe old age. One day he called a meeting of the leaders of the tribes of Israel, including the old men, the judges, and the officials. Then he told them, "I am now very old. You have seen how the Lord your God fought for you and helped you defeat the nations who lived in this land. There are still some nations left, but the Lord has promised you their land. So when you attack them, he will make them run away. I have already divided their land among your tribes, as I did with the land of the nations I defeated between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. Be sure that you carefully obey everything written in the book of the law of Moses, and do exactly what it says. Don't have anything to do with the nations that live around you. Don't worship their gods, or pray to their idols, or make promises in the names of their gods. Be as faithful to the Lord as you have always been. When you attacked powerful nations, the Lord made them run away, and no one has ever been able to stand up to you. Any one of you can defeat 1,000 enemy soldiers because the Lord God fights for you, just as he promised. Be sure to always love the Lord your God. Don't ever turn your backs on him by marrying people from the nations that are left in the land. Don't even make friends with them. I tell you that if you are friendly with those nations, the Lord won't chase them away when you attack. Instead, they'll be like a trap for your feet, a whip on your back, and thorns in your eyes. And finally, none of you will be left in this good land that the Lord has given you. I will soon die, as everyone must. But deep in your hearts, you know that the Lord has kept every promise He ever made to you. Not one of them has been broken. Yes, when the Lord makes a promise, He does what He has promised. But when He makes a threat, He will also do what He has threatened. The Lord is our God. He gave us this wonderful land and made an agreement with us that we would worship only Him. But if you worship other gods, it will make the Lord furious. He will start getting rid of you, and soon not one of you will be left in this good land that He has given you. We will worship and obey the Lord. Chapter 24. Joshua called the tribes of Israel together for a meeting at Shechem. He had the leaders, including the old men, the judges, and the officials, come up and stand near the sacred tent. Then Joshua told everyone to listen to this message from the Lord, the God of Israel. Long ago, your ancestors lived on the other side of the Euphrates River, and they worshipped other gods. This continued until the time of your ancestor Terah and his two sons Abraham and Nahor. But I brought Abraham across the Euphrates River and led him through the land of Canaan. I blessed him by giving him Isaac, the first in a line of many descendants. Then I gave Isaac two sons, Jacob and Esau. I had Esau live in the hill country of Mount Seir. But your ancestor Jacob and his children went to live in Egypt. Later I sent Moses and his brother Aaron to help your people, and I made all those horrible things happen to the Egyptians. I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, but the Egyptians got in their chariots and on their horses and chased your ancestors, catching up with them at the Red Sea. Your people cried to me for help, so I put a dark cloud between them and the Egyptians. Then I opened up the sea and let your people walk across on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, I commanded the sea to swallow them, and they drowned while you watched. You lived in the desert for a long time. Then I brought you into the land east of the Jordan River. The Amorites were living there, and they fought you. But with my help, you defeated them, wiped them out, and took their land. King Balak decided that his nation Moab would go to war against you. So he asked Balaam to come and put a curse on you. But I wouldn't listen to Balaam, and I rescued you by making him bless you instead of curse you. You crossed the Jordan River and came to Jericho. The rulers of Jericho fought you, and so did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I helped you defeat them all. Your enemies ran from you, but not because you had swords and bows and arrows. I made your enemies panic and run away, as I had done with the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River. You didn't have to work for this land. I gave it to you. Now you live in towns you didn't build, and you eat grapes and olives from vineyards and trees you didn't plant. Then Joshua told the people, "Worship the Lord, obey Him, and always be faithful. Get rid of the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt. But if you don't want to worship the Lord, then choose right now. Will you worship the same idols your ancestors did? Or since you're living on land that once belonged to the Amorites, maybe you'll worship their gods. I won't. My family and I are going to worship and obey the Lord." The people answered, "We could never worship other gods or stop worshiping the Lord. The Lord is our God. We were slaves in Egypt, as our ancestors had been. But we saw the Lord work miracles to set our people free and to bring us out of Egypt. Even though other nations were all around us, the Lord protected us wherever we went. And when we fought the Amorites and the other nations that lived in this land, the Lord made them run away. Yes, we will worship and obey the Lord, because the Lord is our God." Joshua said, "The Lord is fearsome. He is the one true God, and I don't think you are able to worship and obey him in the ways he demands. You would have to be completely faithful, and if you sin or rebel, he won't let you get away with it. If you turn your backs on the Lord and worship the gods of other nations, the Lord will turn against you. He will make terrible things happen to you and wipe you out, even though he had been good to you before." But the people shouted, "We won't worship any other gods. We will worship and obey only the Lord." Joshua said, "You have heard yourselves say that you will worship and obey the Lord. Isn't that true?" "Yes, it's true," they answered. Joshua said, "But you still have some idols, like those the other nations worship. Get rid of your idols. You must decide once and for all that you really want to obey the Lord God of Israel." The people said, "The Lord is our God, and we will worship and obey only him." Joshua helped Israel make an agreement with the Lord that day at Shechem. Joshua made laws for Israel and wrote them down in the book of the law of God. Then he set up a large stone under the oak tree at the place of worship in Shechem and told the people, "Look at this stone. It has heard everything that the Lord has said to us. Our God can call this stone as a witness if we ever reject him." Joshua sent everyone back to their homes. Joshua, Joseph, and Eleazar are buried. Not long afterwards, the Lord's servant Joshua died at the age of 110. The Israelites buried him in his own land at Timnath-Serah, north of Mount Gaash in the hill country of Ephraim. As long as Joshua lived, Israel worshipped and obeyed the Lord. There were other leaders old enough to remember everything that the Lord had done for Israel. And for as long as these men lived, Israel continued to worship and obey the Lord. When the people of Israel left Egypt, they brought the bones of Joseph along with them. They took the bones to the town of Shechem and buried them in the field that Jacob had bought for 100 pieces of silver from Hamor, the founder of Shechem. The town and the field both became part of the land belonging to the descendants of Joseph. When Eleazar the priest died, he was buried in the hill country of Ephraim, on a hill that belonged to his son, Phinehas.
This ends Joshua, narrated by Jack Garrett. And now, Judges, narrated by Richard M. Davidson.
Judges. About this book. The book of Judges tells how the Israelites kept rejecting the Lord and worshiping idols. Each time they did this, the Lord punished them by letting other nations attack and defeat them. As a result, the Israelites turned back to the Lord and asked for his help. And he sent a special leader called a judge who helped them defeat their enemies. A time of peace followed, and the Israelites were faithful to the Lord for as long as the judge lived. But then they again rejected the Lord. All these things happened time after time. Some judges may have led the entire nation, but usually a judge led a few tribes at the most. Israel at this time was a loosely bound group of tribes, and the Israelites did not think of themselves as being a single, united country. They did not yet have a king, and so during this time, everyone did what they thought was right. But the people had to learn that they were to worship only the Lord, and when they were unfaithful, the Lord punished them. The tribes of Judah and Simeon fight the Canaanites. Chapter 1. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Which of our tribes should attack the Canaanites first?" "Judah," the Lord answered. "I'll help them take the land." The people of Judah went to their relatives, the Simeon tribe, and said, "Canaanites live in the land God gave us. Help us fight them, and we will help you." Troops from Simeon came to help Judah. Together, they attacked an army of 10,000 Canaanites and Perizzites at Bezek, and the Lord helped Judah defeat them. During the battle, Judah's army found out where the king of Bezek was, and they attacked there. Bezek tried to escape, but soldiers from Judah caught him. They cut off his thumbs and big toes, and he said, "I've cut off the thumbs and big toes of 70 kings and made those kings crawl around under my table for scraps of food. Now God is paying me back." The army of Judah took the king of Bezek along with them to Jerusalem, where he died. They attacked Jerusalem, captured it, killed everyone who lived there, and then burned it to the ground. Judah's army fought the Canaanites who lived in the hill country, the southern desert, and the foothills to the west. After that, they attacked the Canaanites who lived at Hebron, defeating the three clans called Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. At that time, Hebron was called Kiriath Arba. From Hebron, Judah's army went to attack Debir, which at that time was called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb told his troops, "The man who captures Kiriath Sefer can marry my daughter Aksa." Caleb's nephew Othniel captured Kiriath Sefer, so Caleb let him marry Aksa. Othniel was the son of Caleb's younger brother Kenaz. Right after the wedding, Aksa started telling Othniel that he ought to ask her father for a field. She went to see her father, and while she was getting down from her donkey, Caleb asked, "What's bothering you?" She answered, "I need your help. The land you gave me is in the southern desert, so please give me some spring-fed ponds for a water supply." Caleb gave her a couple of small ponds named Higher Pond and Lower Pond. The people who belonged to the Kenite clan were the descendants of the father-in-law of Moses. They left Jericho with the people of Judah and settled near Arad in the southern desert of Judah, not far from the Amalekites. Judah's army helped Simeon's army attack the Canaanites who lived at Zephath. They completely destroyed the town and renamed it Hormah. The Lord helped the army of Judah capture Gaza, Ashkelon, Ekron, and the land near those towns. They also took the hill country. But the people who lived in the valleys had iron chariots, so Judah was not able to make them leave or to take their land. The tribe of Judah gave the town of Hebron to Caleb, as Moses had told them to do. Caleb defeated the three Anakim clans and took over the town. The Benjamin tribe does not capture Jerusalem. The Jebusites were living in Jerusalem, and the Benjamin tribe did not defeat them or capture the town. That's why Jebusites still live in Jerusalem along with the people of Benjamin. The Ephraim and Manasseh tribes capture Bethel. The Ephraim and Manasseh tribes were getting ready to attack Bethel, which at that time was called Luz. And the Lord helped them when they sent spies to find out as much as they could about Bethel. While the spies were watching the town, a man came out, and they told him, "If you show us how our army can get into the town, we will make sure that you aren't harmed." The man showed them, and the two Israelite tribes attacked Bethel, killing everyone except the man and his family. The two tribes made the man and his family leave, so they went to the land of the Hittites, where he built a town. He named the town Luz, and that is still its name. Israel does not get rid of all the Canaanites. Canaanites lived in the towns of Bethshan, Taanach, Dor, Ibleam, Megiddo, and all the villages nearby. The Canaanites were determined to stay, and the Manasseh tribe never did get rid of them. But later on, when the Israelites grew more powerful, they made slaves of the Canaanites. The Ephraim tribe did not get rid of the Canaanites who lived in Gezer, so the Canaanites lived there with the Israelites all around them. The Zebulun tribe did not get rid of the Canaanites who lived in Kitron and Nahalal, and the Canaanites stayed there with Israelites around them. But the people of Zebulun did force the Canaanites into slave labor. The Asher tribe did not get rid of the Canaanites who lived in Akko, Sidon, Aulab, Akzib, Helba, Aphek, and Rehob. And the Asher tribe lived with Canaanites all around them. The Naphtali tribe did not get rid of the Canaanites who lived in Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath, but they did force the Canaanites into slave labor. The Naphtali tribe lived with Canaanites around them. The Amorites were strong enough to keep the tribe of Dan from settling in the valleys, so Dan had to stay in the